Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. Dolls are notoriously creepy. They are uncanny approximations of humanity that go back to the earliest millennia of history. So it should come as no surprise that many stories, especially spooky ones, have cropped up around dolls. So, in honor of the start of spooky season, today we have friend of the show, Julie Barnson, back on to share a few scary stories about haunted dolls. Here's Julie.
One of my favorite types of stories is ghost stories. I love Halloween. I love the shivers. I love telling the scary stories, but that means that I spend a great deal of time scaring myself. And as part of that, the scariest stories for me are stories about dolls. I love dolls. I had dolls growing up. My grandmother had sets of antique dolls that we played with all the time. We loved dolls growing up. But I also used to really like the Saturday afternoons where you would see things like the Tales of Terror or the Midnight Gallery or the Twilight Zone that had these scary stories. And that was where I was first introduced to the idea that dolls might not be things that we could trust. I remember a Midnight Gallery where the dad gave his daughter a doll in a box. And as she opened the box, the doll smiled. And then there was the Twilight Zone episode, I'm Talking Tina, and I'm Going to Kill You. True story, when my daughter turned 16, I got her a special present. I got a Japanese ball joint doll, and my daughter was an artist. She loved designing different costumes and clothing. So I went to a professional doll person and had them sew her drawings as custom clothes for this doll. And when I went to go pick up the clothes, she said, oh my goodness, you have to see what I found at DI. And she pulled out of her closet just this regular doll. And she said, do you know what this is? I didn't. And she goes, this is the actual doll they used for the Talking Tina episode in the Twilight Zone. I'm going to restore her to be exactly as she was in the Twilight Zone. And I thought, why? Why would you do that? When I was growing up, my mother's bane of her existence was our stuffed animals and our dolls because there's no place to put them. And I had them on the floor. I would have them on my bed. And then when I went to bed, I would throw them on the floor. And she hated that. So she came up with a very clever solution. She put nails up all around my room, tied string around my stuffed animals' necks, and hung them by their necks all the way around the room. Because that was great. So I had stuffed animals hanging all around my room on the wall. I remember one Saturday afternoon, I sat down on my bed, and as I looked over, I noticed that my stuffed bunny, Amelia, she was looking right at me, directly at me. And it made me very uncomfortable. So I decided to move to a different part of my bed. And then I noticed that my teddy bear was looking right at me. So I moved to another part of my room. And I found that there was actually no place that I could stand in my room where I didn't have a stuffed animal looking at me. So I turned them all to face the wall so they couldn't see me anymore. I also had this doll. She was tall and she had long red hair. And she plugged into a speaker and she held a guitar and she would play the guitar and like play rock music. But it was the 70s, so she didn't do it very well. Instead, she mostly just jerked forward really mechanically. And I loved her, but not at night. So I would put her in my closet and close the door. And bad nights where I woke up from a dream and it was dark, my imagination plays tricks on me because I spend a lot of time reading scary stories and watching things like Twilight Zone and Midnight Gallery. And really bad nights, I could imagine my closet door sliding open and her creeping out, and she would stand just so that her eyeballs would peek over my mattress. And I was afraid to sleep where I couldn't see the closet for a long time. It took a while before I would actually roll over and face the wall with my back to my room. My mother didn't even make the bathroom safe because if I escaped to the bathroom, she had one of those toilet paper roll dolls where the skirt covers the toilet paper roll doll, and she saw everything I did in there. So with all of that, you can imagine how I felt when I had two little girls and my mother-in-law bought them those 3-foot-high giant Barbie dolls. I was not happy, but my girls loved them. Oh, they loved them. They played with them all the time. We had downstairs in the family room a little kitchen in the corner right between the office and the family room, and we would prop the dolls up there. That was their place where they would go. And I had to suck it up, even though doll stories really scare me. My husband was in computer games, and that meant that he worked really horrible hours. He had a deadline. He was going to work late, probably overnight. And I remember it was quite literally a dark and stormy night. It was pouring down rain, and the girls were in bed, and I was doing my very favorite activity, which was go onto the internet and read websites where people recorded their true stories. And that's where I read the story about Michael the doll. Now, so you get an idea of where I was on the computer with my back facing the family room, and the corner where the kitchen was, there were those dolls propped up right there. So my back was to those dolls, and I read the story of somebody's grandmother who found this doll, just toddler size, at a flea market. And oh, he was so adorable, and he was just big enough that you could buy 2T or 3T clothes and dress him up, and it would look so good. She had a special little chair for him. She called him Michael, and she sat him right in the entryway of her house as a decor item. And he was the conversation piece of Grandma's house. When Grandma died, to this person's horror, he said, "I don't know why this happened, but my mother and my aunt both fought over who would get Michael the doll. And the truth was, we didn't want Michael the doll. We thought Michael the doll was really creepy, and we would never want him in our house. And so we were horrified when my mom got the doll." She sat him in a chair, special, just like Grandma did, in the living room so it could watch TV with the entire family. And we immediately noticed that Michael didn't stay in his chair. All the time, Mom was finding him in weird places, the laundry room, the kitchen, down the hallway, and she would say, "Kids, I really do not want you playing with Michael. This is Grandma's special thing. It's for a remembrance of Grandma, and it's not a toy. Don't be playing with it." But the truth was, we hadn't played with him. We didn't like him. We didn't want him there at all. We were never going to touch him, so we had no idea how he was getting from room to room to room. There was one night when I was going to get a drink, and I went down the hallway. Now, our hallway faced that family room, and we could see straight ahead, right looking down the hallway, was Michael's chair. And there he was in his little chair. And I veered off to go get a drink in the kitchen. And when I came back out, Michael was not in his chair. Michael was halfway across the living room, collapsed right there in the middle of the floor. It was like Toy Story, where Buzz and Woody, they could move around, but as soon as a kid came in, they collapsed right there. So as soon as I had gone into the kitchen, Michael got up from his chair, came across the floor, but collapsed the minute I appeared. I ran all the way to my room and shut that door. My sister had it worse. She had to use the restroom in the middle of the night, and she crossed the hallway, looking down and seeing Michael there at the end of the hallway. She went and used the restroom, and when she came back, Michael was again out of his chair and collapsed in the middle of the living room floor. She freaked out, went into her room, closed the door, put her desk chair underneath the doorknob so he couldn't get in, and slept that way. The next morning, her screams woke up the entire family, because when she moved the chair and opened the door, Michael fell into her room. He was leaning up against the door, and I promise you, I did not touch him. We told our mother over and over again that Michael was creepy. We didn't want Michael, but she really didn't believe us until one day she had her own experience. It was in the afternoon, about an hour before we were going to be coming home from school, and she went and laid down in bed to take a nap. And when she woke up, Michael was lying in the bed beside her, and nobody was home. That was when she said, "You know, maybe we should put Michael in the attic." My sister and I did not think that this was a good idea either. Why would you do that? Why would you put him in the attic where he could just roam around doing whatever it was he wanted? But that's what they did. They put him in the attic. And later, when we went to pull down the Christmas ornaments from the attic, he wasn't there. He was gone. And so perhaps, if you're going by a flea market or a yard sale and you see this doll that's just the height of a real human toddler dressed in really nice clothes, maybe you don't want to buy him. Crash. That was the moment where there was a crash behind me and I swiveled around in my computer chair, and that 3-foot-high Barbie that my mother-in-law had bought my girls had literally fallen down across the doorway between the office and the family room. And I went, "Aah!" And I picked the doll up by the hair and I took her to the back door and I threw her outside. I locked all of the doors. I closed all of the curtains. And I decided that perhaps this was not the time to be reading any more true ghost stories on the internet. I turned off all the lights because if it was looking in the windows, the lights would just make it easier for her to watch us. And that was when I went upstairs and I slept, perhaps with the lamp on, the whole rest of the night. And in the morning, when my girls said, "Mom, where's our doll?" I had to say, "Sweethearts, I had to put the doll outside because it was really bad last night." The funny thing is when people start to know that you are creeped out by doll stories, they torture you with it. I told this story to my faculty at school because I'm a teacher there. And there was one Halloween time when I went into my room and I went down behind my desk and I looked, and peeking out of the drawer was this creepy doll with dark circles under its eyes and, you know, the black makeup and a ratty hair. And come to find out that the school secretary had found it at a thrift store and thought this would be a fun trick to play on Mrs. Barnson. It was great. And so, you know, I inherited my mother's doll, the antique Shirley Temple doll that she had completely outfitted. I don't keep it in my room, just to be safe. Thank you.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Julie Barnson, for sharing her story. Julie is a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild. Be sure to check her out and the Guild at utahstorytellingguild.website. For more of Julie's work, be sure to check out her website at talesbyjulie.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening. Food, like life, can be complicated. That's why I'm on a quest to learn all about our food and the crimes, issues, and debates that are tied to it. I hope you'll join me on my quest to explore the dark side of dining.
There have been surveys out there that have shown that 8% of Americans think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. There are a lot of people who don't know that chocolate actually comes from trees.
The colonists could not possibly obtain enough molasses from the British West Indies, which they were supposed to buy it all from. And so they resorted to smuggling channels to bring in illicit supplies of molasses from the French West Indies.
I keep going back to this idea of companion. You know, if you break the word down, it's two Latin roots, con pane, you know, with bread. The idea being that once you break bread with someone, you can no longer be an enemy.
Tune in to The Dark Side of Dining every Thursday, starting September 18th. Available wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.